Brent Q back with you here on a Tag Team Wednesday. Cool story coming up. A local guy who went to City, kind of bounced around collegiately, but has a real shot to get drafted. And a cool story. Adrian Coxon will join us in studio coming up next segment. But joining us right now, world famous handicapper Brandon Lang is with us. Brandon, no one cares about how my bracket looks, but they do care about how your bracket looks. How does it
look? I'm sitting pretty good. The frustrating thing for me is that when I filled up my bracket, we had to get everybody's post on the website by Monday night. So I kind of rushed it and just kind of flew by the seat of my pants. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, when I started to really handicap the games and get into it, the one thing I would have changed that I want, you know, it's too late to change it. The one thing I said to myself, you know, now that I think about it, it was Gonzaga going to the Final Four out of that region instead of Iowa State. And it sure looks good now with the way Gonzaga's playing. But that was it. I got Michigan State, Kentucky, Arizona, spot on with the other three, looking good there. Michigan State, you know, did exactly what I thought they would do. And Gonzaga looks great now. So, you know, instinctive-wise, I was right. But unfortunately for me, on the bracket, on my website at Iowa State.
Yeah, I know I had Gonzaga, but I just blew it with Michigan State. I just thought that I was going to be the man and say, well, I'll get fancy with the spices, talk a little Villanova, thinking I'm going to be all cool with them. They blew it. And then, of course, Virginia. I just thought Virginia would be riding some kind of a wave. They learned from last year. They learned nothing.
Well, it's not that they didn't learn anything. It's ironic that certain teams just match up against certain teams. And
yeah.
So had Virginia got any other draw other than having to play Michigan State again, I truly believe that Virginia had a chance to go to the Final Four. But when Virginia gets up in the morning and the steam from the shower gets the mirror foggy and you wipe off the mirror, you know who stares back at Virginia? Michigan State. they play the exact same type of basketball. The difference is going back to Tom Izzo's battles against, you know, Bennett's dad at Wisconsin, he's so familiar with the system that Michigan State just does it better. And it's too bad because Virginia had a great year. They just met a better team that plays the system better in Michigan State. But other than that, you know, Villanova, you kind of have to look at that and say this. Until Jay Wright shows you he can get to a Final Four, don't buy into the dream just yet. He's got to overcome that hump. He's had great teams, and for whatever reason, something happened. So just remember that going forward next year when Villanova dangles the carrot in front of the rabbit and then, of course, pulls it away at the last moment. Force Jay Wright to show you he can get over that hump because, once again, a really great basketball team that ran into a system standpoint, NC State just broke them down. And did what NC State did against pretty good Villanova team.
Brandon Lang is with us here on WBAL News Radio 1090. And Brandon, we talked about Kentucky last week. Repeat for us again your philosophy on Kentucky going into this tournament and the bet everyone's talking about Kentucky versus the field, and then we'll get into the Sweet 16 matchup.
Something hasn't been done in 39 years. Not 7 years, 10 years, 20 years. 39 years. And when UNLV went to the Final Four with Larry and Stacy and Anderson and Greg and George Ackles, who all went to the NBA, if they couldn't do it, it just goes to show you how hard it is to do. They blew out everybody the entire year. Closest game was the 7-point game at Arkansas against Todd Mayberry and all those kids. And so Todd Day, rather, and Mayberry and those boys. So when you look at Kentucky, and look what Cincinnati did. Cincinnati mm-hmm. was offensively challenged all year, and they really executed well with what they wanted to do. And had they had one more guy offensively that may have been able to get after it, Kentucky was in trouble in that game. And Cincinnati isn't even as physical as a West Virginia or a Duke or Arizona, who they're going to see. So the field against Kentucky, you have 39 years of history that says it's not going to happen. And let's be honest here. DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall, Eric Bledsoe, that team was filthy and didn't get there. I'm going to force them to overcome 39 years, and then I took the field against them. So I don't know if West Virginia has enough to beat them outright, but I know Arizona does. I know Wisconsin does. I know Duke does. And so I just think it's ironic that Duke is all of a sudden playing well and is in that picture, as they were the last ones to knock off UNLV, who was undefeated. Where at? Indianapolis. Where are they going back to? Indianapolis. I mean, it's got a whole deja vu feeling to it all over again. Here we are literally 23 years later after 1992.
I just think John Calipari has done such a remarkable job of almost, I'm not going to say fooling his guys, but in regards of the psychological advantage, because, yeah, my bracket has Arizona defeating them and not even really getting it into the final two. But with that, though, you could see where, yeah, it is an uphill battle, but you got a tip of the cap somewhat to John Calipari and the job he's done at keeping these young, talented men focused.
Oh, listen, you can't put a price tag on the job he's done, the players he's filtered through, and how he gets nine McDonald's All-Americans to buy into the same page, and how he has reloaded year in and year out. And I think they did a thing of, since Calipari's been at Kentucky, if you add up the collective salaries of the players he sent to the NBA, they're over the $500 million mark. Mm. It's insanity, the players who have come through. John doesn't get enough credit. But with that being said, six games, elite competition, each step gets harder. They are still a little bit of a young team. It's just too hard to do. I'll force them to show me that they can do it for the first time in 39 years.
So tell me, Brandon, what games do you like tomorrow and on Friday in the Sweet 16? That Wichita State Notre Dame game is tricky. The Wisconsin UNC game is tricky. What jumps out to you?
Let me ask you a question. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We're ready. Go ahead.
And I'll let you answer the question for me. So what do you think is the toughest conference in college basketball?
Ooh. Well,
the best conference.
I was told going in the Big 12, but I don't believe that anymore.
No longer. So I think the ACC.
Okay, so the ACC, which year in and year out people say is pretty much the best conference in college basketball. Okay, so you're telling me that a Missouri Valley Conference team, no matter who they are, is favored by two over the best conference in college basketball, and the team that won the conference tournament and beat Miami, Florida, Duke, and North Carolina on their way to do it. Now, let me put it in a perspective that you guys can understand. Wichita State's win over Kansas was like they had sex with Naomi Campbell. And now this week, they've got to get back up, and waiting for them is Molly from Mike and Molly, or the girl that was in Identity Theft. So that is what they beat a team that wouldn't play them for 15 years. There was more emotion in that game than any game Wichita State's played in 20 years.
Mm.
You don't want to play us? We finally get you? Okay. They put everything into that game. And now Wichita State, a team that couldn't beat Illinois State in their conference tournament, that the public saw beat Kansas, goes, oh, my God, they're so good. They're the greatest. Is now the line opened up a pick'em, and the public has bet Wichita State to a two-point favorite. It's just going to waltz in and beat a Notre Dame team that's the ACC champion, and it has five multiple scores and two big men who can play with their back to the basket, and is an experienced senior-laden team. Are you getting my drift here?
I'm listening, and I am taking notes.
Notre Dame should be a 4.5-point favorite based on strength of conference. Brandon Lang, what are you talking about? Okay, here you go. Northern Iowa on Sunday was a 2.5-point favorite over Louisville of the ACC.
Mm.
How'd that work out in a wire-to-wire 40-minute complete domination where Northern Iowa was never in the game if you watch the game?
Mm.
What people are going to see with Notre Dame, Wichita State, is they're going to go, wow, Notre Dame's pretty good. And just because Notre Dame struggled in their two tournament games, the whole world is off their bandwagon now, forgetting what they did in the ACC tournament. And as good as Duke has looked, as good as North Carolina has looked, as good as Miami of Florida has looked, getting to the NIT semifinals in New York.
Interesting.
Notre Dame went through those three teams like a knife through melted butter and made it look easy. And you think, for Notre Dame, they just went home with the librarian in the first two games. And being a two-point underdog, they're not seeing Naomi Campbell. They're seeing Jenna Jameson in their prime, my brother.
Someone likes Notre Dame. Brandon Lang, we do appreciate it, as always. Hopefully we'll catch up before Final Four, and we'll see how that bracket looks. And we'll break down the Final Four. Brandon, thank you so much.
Always, guys. Have a good weekend.
Good Absolutely. Stuff from Brandon Lang. Great Very insight cool. from a world-famous handicapper. When we come back, the cool story of local football player Adrian Coxon.